Blog Talk Radio.
Scribbled on your spine, headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret safe with the NSA. In God we trust, or the CIA, standing on the edge of a revolution.
Yeah, it's hard to find a picture of Matt Ryan's shirt, but instead of standing on the edge of a revolution, I believe I'm standing on the edge of the speaker here in the studio.
Okay.
As my co-host alluded to, he can't hear through his headset currently, but he can definitely hear through mine. I'm going to try to make it through the show. If I seem like I'm talking really loud, well, that's probably why, but I do appreciate the sound guy doing such a jam-up job.
Yes, always.
Always. But we are here live on Blog Talk Radio for the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show, presented by Impact Media. Of course, I'm Jeremy the Impact York, and joining me, special guest co-host, good to have him back on the show. I guess I don't have a nickname for you, in case you want to come up with one.
No, I will not be nicknaming myself.
Okay. Joe... I will not nickname myself Tim.
There we go.
I've tried doing that. Actually, the impact comes from me, but it does. It stuck.
Yeah.
I jokingly said it, and it stuck.
Just from personal experience, people can nickname themselves for all the wrong reasons, and it's usually...
Yeah. It usually doesn't.
But except for you.
Of course.
It seems to work.
Of course.
For you.
Yeah, like I said, it just sticks. It
remains to be seen.
Right. And the TV here in the studio is, for some reason, on NASCAR. We will change that. Unbeknownst to the people who put it on NASCAR.
In your defense, ESPN has turned to a NASCAR guy for football coverage as well.
That's very true.
Well, what's his... somebody who's listening knows his name. Kenny Rickey or something like that. The guy with the...
what is that guy's name?
The 5-hour shadow, 5 o'clock shadow, and wears the vest on a regular basis. But he's a college football guy, and... I don't know. I mean,
anyway,
they are putting Stugatz on TV too as well.
It's true.
It's really. I think you just need to put a shirt on and not shave for a few hours, and you might be able to get a job at ESPN.
Well, if they see how I dress at the Georgia State games, then I would probably be the new host of SportsCenter.
Hey, they got Stanford Steve on there with SVP. It's midnight, so
there you go.
It sounds like I'm trashing that network. I'm not.
No.
It really makes
you tune in, does it not?
Right. I was talking about this earlier. I don't know if I should really be dismayed by those people being on TV or encouraged. Yeah, it's kind of like the World Series of Poker. When you see these guys that have played no live poker in their lives beat the pros and win $3 million.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this game's a bunch of BS. Or, hey, maybe I can do it.
That's true.
And it's kind of the same thought process that I have when I see two guys on TV. And the other day, Levitard was not in, so it was the Stugatz show.
Oh.
The entire time.
That had to be entertaining.
It was, I'm going to go with the word inspirational.
It was inspirational. There you go. I wish I had better sound effects working on those here, but our board went down the other day, so we were not able to load up any good ones. It'd be nice to have, like, you can do it running the beach. Not Baywatch, just the cool inspirational.
Yeah, music. Maybe some Rocky stuff.
Yeah.
Or
that would have been good.
Chariots of Fire, when the guy is running.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking of. But so much we do want to get to today. Tons in the NFL. We do want to tell you a little bit about the Falcons, a little bit about their win last week, possibly their win here in a few minutes, and obviously we'll kind of break that down a little bit.
Yes.
But is there anywhere you really want to start, or just start nailing this out?
Well, I'm the one who's been away for a while, so why don't you lead the way, and I'll try to keep up.
I will definitely do that. After I say that, of course, you can listen to the show either by the links we post on social media every week, which are up according to the page I just looked at, or, of course, you can call us at 347-826-7448. It will get you directly on here. We do not have a call guy, so you'll be straight on the air. Be prepared to go.
It's only $9.99 a minute?
Yeah, that's no, $9.98. We're actually offering a discount this week.
Oh, that's right, it's Thursday.
It is Thursday. 4 of 4 for me. Fourth show this week. It's been a busy week, but it's been a lot of fun.
Hit your stride.
Trying to. I'm in not necessarily mid-season form, I would say, but I'm probably first quarter of the season form.
That's about right.
Yeah.
We're starting the second quarter.
Exactly.
Other teams have bye week.
Right. But I guess first topic, let's get into how about the success of Andy Dalton and the Bengals so far? I mean, they beat Seattle in overtime. This was the third overtime game this week. And, I mean, I'm not going to give him all the credit in the world. He's still not Tom Brady. But the red rifle was cocked and loaded this week.
Yes, and I think in previous I don't know if we should call this episodes or broadcasts. We've kind of given them a hard time.
We have. We have
called them the Red Rocket, Ivan Jeff, tongue-in-cheek.
I didn't quite go the way of Calvert and say the Bayswater pistol. But, you know, in a way, we somewhat said that.
Right. But I can't really say he's turned it around because he's been a very good regular season quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, this year, 4 out of the 5 games, he's led the Bengals on a touchdown drive on the opening drive of the game. And that's, you know, last week against the Seahawks, that didn't happen. Oh, I'm sorry. What did happen against the Seahawks was Eifert, the 20-yard touchdown pass. But
who was also breaking out, having a killer season.
Yes. And getting off to a good start has been the key. He has got personal highs in QBR and passer rating on those first possessions. He's also 15 of 17. 210 yards with one pass and one rushing touchdown on that first possession of the game. And that kind of gives him a chance to, you know, with that running the ball maybe a couple times, to knock the cobwebs out and kind of get into the game. And not having to play catch-up really makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. Now, of course, they did score on the first one against Seattle, and then Seattle had a 17-point lead at one point, to which they came back and eventually lost to the Bengals in overtime, which just shows.
Yeah, and I think that Marvin Lewis is, I don't know that he interfered that much with Hugh Jackson before, but he's more hands-off for Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson is getting to run his plays. And, you know, it's the more time Dalton spends in the system, the better he's going to be.
Oh, absolutely. And we've seen this year that a lot of head coaches are allowing their coordinators to call all the plays because it's allowing them to be a head coach to 53 guys as opposed to trying to be a head coach at the same time. It's like being a principal and trying to teach at the same time.
Yeah,
you can't really run the school and teach a class.
It's not going to happen. And, you know, I'm going to stick on the first possession thing. His QBR is 96.4 on that first possession, and that's going to get the ball rolling. And I don't have the exact breakdown on how much of that is going to A.J. Green, but I imagine a lot of it is going to A.J. Green and Eifert, and not that the defense needs to be reminded about how big an impact those players can have, but it puts it right in their face. Drive one that's going to roll that coverage over them to begin with, and it opens up everything for the rest of the game. And they're finishing well,
yeah,
as they proved last week.
Which is something a lot of teams in this league aren't doing. They're not finishing well. But as far as the QBR rating, what's your take on the QBR rating? Because I heard Colin say something about this, and I actually agree with him.
It's kind of like astrophysics to me. I know it exists. I don't know how they go about it.
You know why it exists and how it became an existing stat?
No, I accept that it is a thing and that sometimes the numbers are high and sometimes the numbers are low. And apparently it's good to have a high number.
Yeah.
That is my view on the QBR. I don't know how they come up with it. I don't know how they come up with passer rating.
There's a lot of interesting little things. From what I'll mainly repeat what Colin said because this could literally be a 2-hour show if I really got into stuff on it. But like he said, the QBR rating was something created by the four-letter network so that there would be another stat that they could kind of pump into this whole, you know, fantasy football type thing and just pump into football in general. The weird thing is if it's 3rd and 8 and you throw a 7-yard pass, you lose points. If it is 3rd and 3 and you throw a 4-yard pass, you gain points. So there's a lot of times where it could be 3rd and 5 and you throw a 30-yard bomb that gets dropped and you get plus points for that as opposed to it really didn't help your team at all. It actually negatively affected your team. So there's a lot of areas, gray areas like that where the stats kind of, that QBR is not a great replica, but at least so far this year, when they say that Tom Brady has a spectacular one, Aaron Rodgers, now it's Andy Dalton, and that Peyton Manning does not, you can kind of, it's kind of playing out this year as an actual stat.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know what Terry Bradshaw's QBR was during his Super Bowl seasons.
I would say probably somewhere in the 50s,
yeah, and
which is not good.
Or good enough to win championships.
Right, which is the easy argument.
I think the column's got a valid point, and he can, now that he's changed
affiliation,
home base,
yeah,
he can speak out on some of the nonsense.
Sure, and he doesn't slam the four-letter network. He left on good terms, on as good as you could.
That's a whole other show, that whole thing.
Right, it is.
For me.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I look forward to his new book that just came out. And I'm not just here to plug Colin Cowherd, but I was listening to him a little bit earlier. So I listened to a bunch of other people earlier as well, so I might get into that.
I don't like that his show on TV is getting interrupted for soccer on a regular basis.
Yeah, you have to have that other channel, because I happened to be home the other day and caught like the first 2 hours, and they're like, yeah, the third hour coming up. We're going to be on FS4 or something. I went,
yeah.
I don't get that channel.
Why would I?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's not even on the Comcast package.
Yeah, or AT&T.
Right.
So
I don't think it's on Dish. I've looked.
So where and why? I mean, I like Colin.
I mean, can I go to the website and watch it?
He's got a face for radio, for sure. But a lot of guys do. I mean, Feinbaum has an uninterrupted 4 hours a day. I'm not ripping other people.
No.
I'm pointing out things. I know it sounds like I'm coming out firing against everybody but us. But I'm not. Just pointing out facts here.
Right. I mean, and that's one advantage to what we do here is that, you know, we have our sponsors and all, but we really have no affiliation. So
we
can come out and quote whoever we want. We can come out and talk or bash somebody, or we can say how great something is, and we have that freedom.
But I'm lucky that I'm not on TV. I guess the viewers are lucky I'm not on TV.
We could do video casts. I mean,
we've
done them at Impact Media before. They are a lot of fun. But there's a lot more production that goes into them, and that's usually what keeps us from doing it.
But Red Rocket.
Exactly.
Please start.
Red Rocket.
Rocket?
Yes. Red Rocket was that weird South Park
Cartman
episode. Yes.
Cartman.
Yes.
All right.
We're not going to get into what that is.
He might end up getting the playoffs. He might turn to Red Rocket.
He could.
That remains to be seen, because they haven't had a problem getting to the playoffs.
No. It's once they get there. But moving on. Do you want to get to another quarterback who may see the playoffs, but I doubt it'll be this year? The Cowboys, after the bye week this week, are going to start Matt Castle.
And why?
Why not? Brandon Weed's been serviceable, but you traded for Castle. Castle has actually added the numbers, and he has a little bit of a pedigree. And I'm not just saying because he did well in New England. He has the mechanics. He just, when he left New England, he was not on good teams. That's why it didn't work. So if they can find one runner that can get 60 yards a game, which would be nice, whether it's McFadden, whether it's Randall, whether it's one of these other guys they just signed off the street, if they can get a running game going,
yeah,
and I think Dev's going to be back in about 2 weeks.
That's too soon.
Oh, I think it is, but I still think he's going to be back in 2 weeks. He may not be 100% Dev, he may be 60, but they need him out there so the defense has somebody they have to pay attention to.
With that injury, though, with Dev, I know this is about Castle, with that injury, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing Kevin Durant did to himself or had happened to him.
Right, and Julio and Roddy here in Atlanta have spoke out about it because they both had foot injuries and similar ones, and both of them said, hey, that's usually 8, 10, 12 weeks or better.
Yeah, and given the layout of the East, I don't know that 2 or 3 games now is going to make the difference, because the East, it's probably going to end up being a lot like the NFC South was last year, where 8 wins or possibly even 7 wins can win either division.
Probably so.
And I don't know, they're not going to fall too far off the map now. And hustling back, because the real key is him and Romo together.
Right.
He's hustling back to catch 2-yard passes and have to use agility when his agility's not there.
Right.
Because they're not going to get the ball down the field. Castle and Whedon are essentially the same player.
Yeah, I would say that. And I'm not saying Whedon's done that bad. I'm just saying.
No, Garrett is.
He's doing the best he can because he was dealt an awful hand.
Yeah, they've been ravaged by injuries, but I don't know that Castle is the answer. They don't have an answer.
Right.
A lot of times that's not acceptable to the fans and, you know, even to Big Jared, who wants to fill the seat, that there is no answer. We
right.
have to try to do it because they were up a good amount on a 5-0 team. They were lucky with Romo to beat the Giants.
Yeah.
They had no business.
The Giants are a way better team than they've showed those first couple weeks. I mean, they could. I really think if Dallas can't get their act together, it's probably the Giants and then maybe Philly if they go on a run.
Yeah, so anybody saying that this Castle move is going to make any big difference, they're fooling themselves, because then why not leave Whedon in? Because they're essentially the same place.
Right.
And they're probably about the same age, given as much time as Whedon spent playing baseball.
No, actually, Whedon is like 3 or 4 years older, I think, because of the baseball time.
Yeah, so
as far as time in the league, yeah, they're pretty close.
Athletically, they're the same. They're both right-handed. Whedon might be a little closer to another redheaded quarterback. I mean,
yeah, he could be.
Other than that, I don't know. It's a move.
Yeah, you got to do something to shake it up, and this is probably the easiest way to shake it up.
And you know, it gets.
And if it fails, you take him out. You start Whedon next week.
It kind of gets the Greg Hardy stuff out of the news, because a lot of people question why he was allowed to come back, just because of what he was suspended for.
Let's see, we couldn't think of it last week or the other day either. Who is the guy they drafted that was troublesome? That the defensive guy that came back this week, or they had Greg Hardy, and it was the guy they drafted that like dropped a round or so.
Oh. If you want to ask me, I would have brought it up.
And it wasn't
I can't remember.
Not Leo Collins. He's the offensive lineman. I'm talking about the defensive guy.
Where is he from?
College football.
All right. I don't know.
We were trying to think of it the other day, but he came back at the same time Hardy did, and I was like, this can actually help this defense, because they're still missing Scandrick. They still have some issues, but both those guys can get after the football, so it could keep them in game.
Well, it goes back to depth,
too.
Yeah. Aside from the quarterback, they have a serviceable quarterback, and you're not going to have five guys on the roster at running back that are going to be able to contribute. There's none there for him in the cap.
Right.
And I remember hearing at the barbershop, literally, this is not a take on Buck thing, because he always talks about the barbershop.
Yeah.
But they were saying that McFadden's going to make a big change. No, he's not.
No.
He's
still the same runner, he's just with a different line.
Yeah, and he's got great talent, but as soon as he starts getting a heavy load, a heavy share, 20 carries a game, 20 touches a game, he's going to get banged up.
Right.
So, I mean, they're doing what they can with Randall, and, you know, Witten is playing on 2 sprained ankles and a sprained knee, and it's just not there. Their depth is lacking, and I really think that last year was their year to do it. And, you can get the Cowboys fans started on how they got keistered on that call in Green Bay. On the Bryant 4th down play, I personally thought it was a catch, but that's the rule. Catch.
Devontae Freeman got caught with the same rule last week.
But that was different. The ball was dead and across the goal line.
It was, but at the same time, it fits right there with the Calvin Johnson rule.
Which turned into
the Dez Bryant catch rule, which now it could be called the Devontae Freeman got screwed rule.
Yes.
But
it's not, because if you look at this is going way back, the Buccaneers against the Rams.
Yes.
When Emmanuel made that catch, really what started all this.
Right.
That was not a catch.
No.
He, to use a baseball term, he trapped it.
Right.
That's all it was.
It's clear. I mean, even back before you could review it, back before we looked at replay as much as we did,
the
live call on the field should have seen that's a trap.
Right. But Matt Castle, no change. Just a different number.
Yeah, I got to agree.
Levitard's dad, I agree with Levitard's dad. This is the only time you'll ever hear me say that. They're one step closer to Tim Tebow.
I could see it. I could see it, because Manziel is embedded as the backup in Cleveland, which would be their first choice of a splash, and Jerry would not be afraid to go, why not?
Why not? Because what they have doesn't work.
Right. At least people would pay to come see that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, they're built around a certain philosophy of pushing the ball. They can't push the ball.
Right. They have no real running game, so why not bring in a guy who's not afraid to take off running?
I don't think Tebow should go there. I'm just saying.
Right.
Regardless, if they're going to change the Castle, they're one step closer to Tebow.
Right.
No matter what. Because who's going to come in now with Castle? Just those 4 picks for them.
That's true. Did he say that today?
Yeah.
I must have missed that then, because I had the studio TV on the Levitard show for a few minutes. I saw him throw fruit and a bunch of other stuff, so I guess I caught
the last part. It was on the 4:30 show with Bill Monty. And is that
Okay, I'm going to start replaying it.
Numbers never lie. Not that one.
Something like that.
I just say that? Or
We started naming shows here. It seems to work.
Yeah.
It gets people's attention.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we haven't named this one yet. We'll come up with a name here in a little while.
But yeah, let me do more than one in a calendar year, and then we'll...
Right. Yeah. That's true. We'll start coming up with some good stuff. But we've now had random fans who decide to come up to the studio, I'm glad we have these glass walls.
It's about to happen.
It is. It's especially when we're on the open deck here. So.
You got a good looking fellow.
So on the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, and as far as the Cowboys and Matt Castle and all that, at least there's a... Well, before we get to that, at least, especially these two topics.
I did technically leave
the Either way, but I would have let you do that, except for I'm going to tie in our guest we're going to probably have next week.
Okay.
And as far as somebody who can definitely weigh in, especially given a week to let this simmer, longtime Cowboys fan, you can't really say Dallas native because once I say his name, you'll know he's not in Dallas, but all his teams are.
Well, we're Dallas native.
We are. Different Dallas. That confuses people all the time. It really does. But if you're a Dan Patrick Show fan, we're actually going to have one of his longtime callers, Shayan Irving, is actually going to call in next week, and then we're going to talk some Cowboys. I told him we'd talk some Mavs and Texas Longhorns, some other stuff, too, because we integrate all kinds of different things.
So you're going to talk Cowboys.
We're going to talk all kinds of stuff. But I'm looking forward to having him on because, when he calls in the show there,
although Texas did have a huge win last
year. They did. They saved their coach's job at least for another week.
That was ridiculous that his job should be on the line.
Yeah, he just got there.
I'm saying it's 5 years to rebuild that program. Mack Brown, I don't know what he was doing, but I know what he wasn't doing.
He didn't just turn the lights off when he left. I think he pulled some screws loose and let the building fall.
I get it that he is maybe some think he deserves a statue out there, but... He did not leave them in a good way.
No, he definitely didn't. But like I said, we will have Shayan Irving hopefully next week. We got to nail down specifics as far as all that sort of thing. But moving on, as you said, former Cowboy, DeMarcus Ware,
who is
now part of the Broncos stud defense. And I say that knowing that I picked him up off the waiver wire to Fantasy League, two different Fantasy Leagues just a couple weeks ago. And I'm enjoying the 20-plus fantasy points from a defense.
Yeah, they're certainly a good play as far as fantasy is concerned. And, DeMarco Ware, he's a little bit up in age, and I'm sure that maybe if this was a first round of the playoffs, he could go.
Right.
Oh, being in the back and all that.
But seeing as how you're 5-0, and you have Von Miller.
And Shane Ray.
Right, and Shane Ray. Yeah, go ahead and he may not play Sunday because it's back.
No, he's not. I looked before I got here. He's not going to play.
He's not going to play at all?
Yeah.
Okay. They confirmed on that he's not going to play versus the Browns. But then again, nothing personal with the Browns. They are looking better in the last couple weeks. Just like I like the Raiders this year. They're showing up the promise. The Jaguars are starting to do the same. We'll get into the debate of good and bad teams in a minute.
So
he's not going to play against the Browns. I'm not that concerned about it, and in fact, I would rather him take the time.
Yeah, and Shaquille Barrett's going to be starting in his place. Kind of a practice team guy that has really been known for his off-season workout, and he promoted himself.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
And
the YouTube video guy?
Maybe so.
I think I've seen something because I remember when you said the practice videos, I was like, wait, I think.
And he led the team in sacks in the preseason. Now, that's not saying much, but it's something to say.
To be fair, didn't Michael Sam lead the Rams in the preseason last year? I'm just throwing that out there. By the way, we do have feelers out of Michael Sam. I'd love to have him on. I do. Last I heard, he's going to make one more run at the NFL. But he's also transitioning into – he went back to – what school did he go to?
Mizzou.
He went back there and has been taking media classes. He's thinking about going into sports media in case football didn't work out. But unlike Tebow, he's not unrealistic in this. And unfortunately, I wish Tebow would play, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to happen. With Michael Sam, I think he's got one shot. I don't know which team yet, but I think he's got one shot to show everybody he can play, and he can play. It just, if he could go back and redo the order of events, I think he would redo the order.
But I don't think that what he does at home is keeping him from being on the field.
No, I don't.
The NFL has proven they will overlook whatever the heck you do off the field if you can play.
Dogfighting, domestic violence, drug use,
attempted murder.
Yeah. There's,
and if the whole world is where
I'm trying to think, of another fun one, but that's pretty much, I mean.
Nate Newton sold a lot of reefer, got arrested for a lot of reefer sales. They didn't care about that.
Not for the most part.
No, I mean,
different league now, too.
Yeah.
And we're not condoning any of these activities. It's been real interesting. I mean, even with the Greg Hardy thing.
Will put you on if you can play. And really, if the guy moves to TV, if he's got it, I don't mind him being on there, but
right.
I don't want him forced upon us because of what he does at home.
Right.
Because that is not the equality that people are asking for.
And in all honesty, in the 3 or 4 interviews I've heard, I've heard a bunch of the early ones, in the last year or so, but in the last month and a half, 2 months, every time I've heard him on there, he's a completely different person. You can actually hear when he does these things, you can hear that he's taking his classes, he's taking it to heart. He pronounces better. He does a lot of things. He's very clear. As far
good.
As the media checklist, I mean, he's up and down. He's right there at probably B-, B-plus right now.
Yeah, and I'll kind of dovetail with local. When Ron Gant started just news locally, he doesn't do sports. When he started news locally, he was awful. It was a joke watching him. I didn't take it as far as the email or get on Twitter to put him on blast, but I watched him because it was funny. And now he's good.
He's really good.
He's had on-the-job training. And
I get up a few minutes early every day, just catch a few minutes of it and go, that guy's awesome. He had the knowledge. He had to figure out how to present yourself.
Yeah.
Each media thing's different. Doing this is different from being on that TV show or this TV show or this other radio here. You just have to get a comfort level.
Yeah, and like I said, if he's good, I don't mind watching them because there's a – the NASCAR college football guy that's still bothering me. Marty Smith.
That's it.
There we go, finally. It's Marty something. I don't know. Things like that just bug me. But, the Ron Gant thing. He had on-the-job training. And, really, I don't like seeing on-the-job training.
Right.
You don't want to call a mechanic and have him learn how to fix your transmission. That'd be the first transmission
right.
he's ever fixed.
Now, that being said, people that are super talented, and I'm not going to throw their names out because they're already busy enough now, but I have seen people as much as, look at schematics or look at videos on the internet and be able to fix it. So.
Yeah, I learned how to make a nice cheese dip off of YouTube, so anything is possible.
I learned how to tie a tie on the way to a wedding by watching a YouTube video.
Well,
yep, I'm pretty proud of that. I can now do it. I can now do that under the influence of.
Yeah, what are you, 30 now?
31.
Yeah, it's about time.
Everybody would try to teach me.
You're growing up.
I just never figured it out. And.
Next comes a mustache, right?
Yeah. Got to look good on TV.
As Peter Griffin says, with a great mustache comes great responsibility.
Exactly. I'm not ready for that yet.
Good. I know yourself.
I'm not ready for that yet. Besides, like I said, how many radio and TV guys have you seen with beards, mustaches? Not many.
I could come up with 7.
Former players are usually the only ones that can get away with it.
You played Formula.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. It was for no big team. I played against your brother.
Yes.
Who successfully, by the way.
Yes, his team has been undefeated up until last week. He's
still playing?
He's hurt. He's head coach.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess I didn't segue properly.
That's why I was like, wow, still,
let me
still putting on the chin strap there and going for it.
Yeah, he's making $80 a week. Playing in Hiram. No, he's coaching a Little League team, and they've actually done quite well lately. Haven't been able to see him yet. My own parental obligations have kept me from going, but I've heard they've done quite well.
Hey, you can always throw the kids in the car and take them with you.
Kind of physically challenged at the moment.
Understood. Then you should use Uber.
One of our sponsors. Fine sponsor.
It'd be great if they were a sponsor.
My fault.
But, them and SeatGeek, things that I haven't used Uber, but I have friends that do. I send people to it all the time. And if you guys are listening, love to talk about it. Same thing about SeatGeek. I actually use SeatGeek because it's only a couple bucks to go to a game now, as opposed to, you know, having to sell a kidney.
Yes. I can see that now.
In fact, $5 Braves tickets all the way up to the end of the year. And obviously, they're not playing now.
I was going to say.
Right now, they're probably literally hand you a ticket.
Yeah.
Because they're not playing.
That's going to be a mighty parking lot.
It is. But, moving on.
Yes, we are. Speaking of Texas football.
Yeah, we've been all over the place. How are we Texas football?
Your buddy, Shadow from Irving.
Oh, yeah.
Can talk Texas football. Another former Longhorn.
Yeah. He will definitely get it. I thought this was the next thing we were talking about. I was like, wait, I don't think he had anything to do with. But the next thing we were going to talk about, Antonio Gates, the returning Antonio Gates.
Yes, I was
after, But Antonio Gates, that Antonio Gates, who would probably be the best tight end of his generation had that one Gonzalez guy not been playing at the same time.
Yeah, and that's who I think about most because, you know, they always brought up that Tony Gonzalez played basketball. So did Gates. And
he was good.
Yeah, and it's what's really impressive about Gates' performance, I know that this is kind of a career topic, but his performance on Monday, he didn't play a preseason game.
No.
He hadn't played all year.
Right.
And to come and play at the highest level and to produce that quickly. I think he had a touchdown on the first drive.
He did.
I
went back and rewatched it.
That was
amazing. Might be a little strong because he already had 99 touchdowns at that point.
Right.
So we kind of come to expect it.
Yeah.
But it really just
Be number 100, it literally was one of the highlight catches of his career. And I mean, not that it was a super catch, but
given the circumstance.
Right. The way it all played out, you're like, it was the perfect platform.
Yes. And he's just really impressive because he's pretty much been the player on that Chargers team.
Right.
It's not like he is the Jay Novacek of Michael Irvin. There's really not been a number one receiver.
Wow, we're going deep for those references.
He's not. He really hadn't had a number one receiver for the coverages to roll over to to leave him open in the middle.
Right.
And he's been doing it. He's consistent. And 100 touchdowns, I think he's the ninth player to do that.
I believe so.
And he's just given his style, this isn't like his last hurrah.
No, I mean, he's got a couple more years. And, in fact, I defended him. At first, I didn't blast him when he got suspended, but I looked more into it, and I talked to some other people that I knew. And, I mean, we all know it. We're both getting older every day. You don't heal as fast, those kinds of things. Maybe he's lost part of a step. He's trying to keep up with these newer guys. Maybe he took something that he wasn't quite sure of. I don't think he purposely took something on the ban list. I just think that he was just like, maybe this will help me recover faster so that I can stay in the game and still play competitively, you know, for the next couple years.
And I don't know. I should have looked this up. I mean, is this a contract year? Because he maybe have one contract left in him.
I think he has.
And I don't blame him for investing in himself in advance.
No.
If you could take it and get it out of your system with the risk of only losing four games.
Right.
It's a sound investment.
And, you know, they were doing pretty good without him.
Yeah.
And then they're doing. Now Phillip Rivers has a target back. You know, it's just like Romo suddenly getting Jason Witten back. There's the blanket.
And really, 8 times out of 10, that game goes to overtime.
Right.
And I believe, not necessarily because of where they were on the field, but if that kicker didn't miss two kicks the last game they played, Pittsburgh kicker I'm speaking of, they kick that ball. They don't risk it.
Right.
And also, you know, Vic, he wasn't really setting the world on fire during that game, and Tomlin wanted, he had a chance to do it, and he wanted to get out of there with a win.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you have to make that play call.
And yeah, and I would too. Especially with the way Le'Veon Bell's been playing.
Well, you know, when you get in a situation, games on the line, whether you get one play or whether you get two at that point, I think he pretty much knew in that play call that he was getting one. You want to put it in the hands of your best playmaker. Not your best player, best playmaker. Big Ben's on the sideline. If not, I put in Big Ben's hand and go, score. I don't care how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you see a pass, take it. If not, run it in yourself. But with Big Ben out, you don't want to risk Vic, who is not who he used to be. Now, he was very serviceable in this game.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with his with his play, especially the one, the play that Big Ben drew up for him to Wheaton, I believe.
Yeah.
But because Vic can still throw 50 yards by flicking the ball off his back foot.
Yeah, and he's not, it might be good as far as that game is concerned. He had one rushing attempt.
Right.
And that was on the last drive for 24 yards.
And I don't know
when they needed it.
Right. He went to scramble because the pocket collapsed, and he realized that Moses had parted the seas, and he ran right through the middle of them.
So,
and if not for a safety that made a play on about the 5-yard line, he scores.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they've got a great receiver in Antonio Brown, and they're not pushing it to him. They're still not trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Right.
They've changed the way they call plays, and it might be driving Todd Haley crazy, but the fact is, they should have won the past two games with him.
Yes.
He's definitely serviceable.
Absolutely.
And it just shows to their depth to where one quarterback going out does not crumble his season, as the team we spoke about earlier.
Right.
Now, I realize that Dallas has lost a lot more than just the quarterback, and Pittsburgh pretty much has just lost one star player, but it just goes to show that you've got to shape your the way that you do things.
Yep.
Based on the personnel available to you.
Exactly. And not that there could not be a better segue, or at least I'm going to say there could not be a better segue, is to a team that will now have to shape their game plan around not having a particular piece of personnel. Running back for the Chiefs, who desperately need some offense, Jamaal Charles tears his ACL. He's done for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's non-contact injury, too, which is kind of encouraging as far as the concern.
Right, because there's less damage on the knee. But, you know, ask Carson Palmer, you still miss the rest of the year. You can come back and be successful, but him being a runner and him being explosive the way he is.
Probably their number one receiver, automatically the number one rusher.
Oh, absolutely, because Alex Smith refuses to throw the ball more than 12 yards.
I don't know if it's a refusal or if Scott did that to him at first. I don't know.
I've seen him do it before accidentally. I've seen him throw 30 yards. But
yeah, on accident.
Yeah. I think
it is who he is, but Andy Reid knew who he was getting when he went out and got him.
Sure, sure. And he's exactly what Andy Reid likes and needs. That he's a good fit. I'm not knocking Alex Smith for his limitations, I guess.
He is who he is. And given their offensive style, you can't replace Jamaal Charles. I think he might even be top in yards per carry with someone as a – there's a minimum amount of carries – required. I think he's top in the NFL history in yards per carry.
Right.
That might be a minimum of 500 attempts or 700 attempts or something like that. Whereas Adrian Peterson is a full half yard behind him in that same category.
Right. And even from a fantasy perspective, he's always a guy I try to target because he always puts
week.
Up just absolute killer numbers.
He killed me last week getting hurt. I'm not trying to minimize his injury, but it had a direct effect on my life.
Oh, yeah. It had an effect on all five leagues I was in, plus the DraftKings tournaments, which is another sponsor we would love to have because we both play it.
We almost went through a whole football discussion about DraftKings coming up.
Yeah.
Did you realize how close we got?
I didn't realize we were trying to. I would have said it, but
I kind of thought about it at the beginning. I didn't want to jinx it, though. But DeAnthony Thomas, he's feature, I think Black Mamba nickname is a bit strong.
Yeah, but the other guy named Black Mamba. Still pretty good.
Got hurt yesterday.
Did he?
Day before yesterday. Yeah, hurt his foot. Limped off the court. DeAnthony Thomas, he's a elusive fella.
From Oregon, right?
Yes, from Oregon. Can really change the game, catching those passes out of the backfield. I don't think he's going to be as serviceable between the tackles as Jamaal Charles was. But they, you know, they're in a position to where, you know, they can't get too far away because, you know, Denver's 5-0.
Right.
And Oakland is really,
they've
changed.
Are they 2-3 or are they 3-2?
They're 2-3. They should have beat the Bears.
They should be 4-1, honestly. There's two games they were in the whole time.
Yeah, and with Oakland, they've really turned things around. Those games are no longer automatic wins.
And it has a lot to do with friend of Coach, who's normally here on the show here with us, a friend of his, Reggie McKenzie, the GM out there, and getting Jack Del Rio, who I said from the very beginning is the right coach out there. Those two guys know how to win the game.
Yeah, Jack Del Rio should have had a job in another Southern California team.
Yep, who is looking for a coach currently?
Yeah, he should have been there.
But this is not hindsight.
No. I did not think, regardless of Sarkisian's personal issues, I did not think that he was the proper hire for that program.
I thought it was interesting because Sarkisian is entertaining, but now we know why he was entertaining.
Yeah. I can identify with what he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me. I know more than others. Trust me. But from a football perspective, he was not right. And, you know, Chip Kelly's already said that the AD is not contacted, which
right.
is kind of like the vote of confidence from the general manager to the...
And Chip Kelly also said when they asked him about the Texas job, they asked him about USC, they asked him about the other USC, he said, you know, those are unfortunate, I believe was the word he used. Which is his way of saying, let me get through this season.
He's going
and,
to go to California.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He needs to go to USC. He will revive that program. I'm not the world's biggest Chip Kelly fan, but he belongs in college.
Yeah. Just based on his attitude.
Right.
And he wants to micromanage the players, which it works very well at Oregon.
Right.
He wants to micromanage their lives.
Right. It works very well in college because you need to mold those people into serviceable adults, you know, young adults, which and they're going to listen to you. But if I'm making more money than you are, I'm not going to necessarily listen to you.
Yeah, and also, when you start out like they've started out, okay, all your suggestions aren't working. I took maybe 80% of them. We're losing.
Right.
So, sorry, bud. Not going to do it anymore.
Exactly. But to hammer home the effect Charles will have, it's either Niles Davis or it's what's his name?
DeAnthony Thomas.
DeAnthony.
I don't know that they're really going to lean on him for anything other than third down.
Yeah.
But Niles Davis, I mean, he will punish. I don't know that he's got the hands that Charles does. So it's probably going to be, you know, first and second down heavy, maybe third and short. They're going to have Niles in. But DeAnthony Thomas, he's going to be probably the he'll try to split up the touches.
Right. And definitely Jamal Charles, we would love to have you on the show. Now you're going to have a lot of spare time. But also wants you to get well soon.
He will. I mean, like I said,
yeah.
Non-contact.
ACL athlete. Now is almost, I mean, it's almost like Tommy John in baseball. It's like you almost have to have one to be a great player now.
Yeah.
And actually, it's like his second one, though, isn't it? Didn't he tear something a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was.
There's the other knee.
I think it was when Castle was there.
Yeah.
The beginning of the end for Castle there on that great experiment.
But from one ending now to a new beginning.
Yeah, said he was going to retire if he wasn't picked up after week 2.
Right. But I guess he got the right call. And the team that gave him that call doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll say we're going to say who we're talking about.
Right.
Bringing,
yeah.
Said he hadn't put a helmet on since December. I don't know if that's encouraging.
I don't think he owns a motorcycle or a bicycle. So, I mean, that's understandable.
Yeah. He does own a bicycle. He said he enjoys bicycling.
Okay.
One of the things he's done to keep in shape, which maybe funny you said that.
Yeah.
Because I know that you didn't do that on purpose.
No.
It's kind of like a bonus. I mean, he might be a borderline Hall of Famer that you're bringing off the street and
into a defense who's already top five, and you're giving yourself another guy in the rotation.
He's going to play immediately. They're not going to wait around.
No.
He's going to start.
No, you don't even have to let him see the playbook. You just pretty much go, you know what to do.
He's going to get time at the nickel linebacker spot, maybe get about 15 to 20 snaps this week.
So is that the Leo, or is that a different position? Because there's all these hybrid positions now to where half the time I have no idea what to call.
Yeah, I think maybe in if he was a Gamecock, he'd be the spur position.
Gotcha.
It's just one of them. Hybrid might be a good word for it. But,
okay.
You know, just third and long, second and 19, those kind of plays, he'll get in there. Just nickel situations where a run might be possible, they're going to bring him in.
Yep, and if you don't already have the Arizona defense and they're available in your fantasy league, I would absolutely pick them up.
Yeah, and like I said, he is a borderline Hall of Famer that wasn't playing. It couldn't hurt.
Right.
It's a one-year deal if you think cut him.
I mean, John Abraham's out there, but, you know, he has chemical issues himself that he's got to iron out. When he irons those out, Abraham could be back on somebody's roster.
Yeah, okay. Just come back to the line, honestly.
That would be nice. I don't know if he would necessarily be a Dan Quinn player, but, you know, I haven't talked to Dan Quinn to know.
No, I mean, what could it hurt? They've got Corey Beerman getting snaps.
I like Corey Beerman.
Yeah, he's all right.
still want to wish him and Kim well wishes on her recovering from these strokes, apparently she has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it at that.
That was me being nice.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah, I'm apparently the Croy Beerman apologist on the show. Reggie's not a big fan, and Coach hasn't seen enough to be a fan, but I like Croy. I've reached out to the Falcons that we'd love to have Croy on.
Is it just because that one play made against the Browns a few years ago?
No, I like the guy. He seemed like a good guy. I've seen the show.
There are lots of good guys out there.
I know, but they don't have shows. I don't even remember the name of the show, but I was when I was out of town at that wedding.
What you think of?
Yeah, I saw like 4 or 5 episodes in a row.
Okay.
It's what do you call it? Down and Out or Around the House with Kim and Croy, or I can't think of what you call it.
I'm proud of myself for not knowing what you're talking about.
I'm kind of proud of myself. I don't know it either. It's definitely not their demographic.
I didn't know it existed.
It's not bad though. It's
the one of them YouTube things.
No, it's
the black internet, the dark internet. I mean.
No.
Darknet. What is that?
It's on.
What's that internet that?
I mean, it's not. It's not even Oxygen or none of those kind of stations. It's on like.
TMZ.
Bravo or something like that.
Mm.
It's on the Housewife channel, basically.
Andy Cohen produced it.
Probably.
I guess I just nullified any positive points I got for knowing who Andy Cohen is.
Right. And I disagreed because I have no idea and I don't really want to know.
That's his wife. Oh, Andy Cohen is a big wig at Bravo. He's great.
Okay. Now I know. So yeah. I gain points for just now knowing, and I think you lose points for already knowing.
Well, I don't want my way back up to zero because refrigerator parent is set.
Yep. But the Dwight Freeney signing, definitely.
Oh, what could it hurt? Why not?
Right. Why not?
In a great position.
Arizona knows about defense, and they're probably going to lose a coordinator or so, possibly some other coaches in the offseason because they're going to do so well. But they're probably going to call a longtime friend of the show, Jen Welser, back. So she'll be more than an intern next year, I think.
Yeah.
I'll leave that one where it is, too, because I know where you're about to go.
No, I wasn't about to go anywhere with her, because I like people giving them crap about bringing her in.
Right, and all she did was go in and do her job better than anybody else.
All that, and she brings a different perspective. I like it when teams attempt to do different things. That's why I don't want it to sound like I'm down on Chip Kelly. He's doing something different.
He's different. I love people that give you something different. And, you know, in them bringing in Jen, I've had her on the show. I've had her on Impact Media a couple times.
Yeah.
I've talked to her off the air as well. She is not only super smart, but she understands this game on a level that not many people I've ever met do. She does give a different perspective. It's the same reason why if I'm looking for my keys, I might ask you, hey, my keys are somewhere in this area. Can you help me look? Because you're going to look at it a different way.
Right.
You may pick them straight up.
Well, similar, it's the same line of thinking that there's a real sports story I should have wrote on the coach's name. High school coach that does not punt or kick off. He onside kicks every time.
I like this guy.
And he does not punt.
I like him already.
He punted, I think he's punted once in 4 years.
Wow.
And they've won some state championships, and they're really performing. You know,
wait,
and
they've Indiana, I saw this story.
Yeah, it's really interesting story. Won't work in the pros, because pros won't do it.
But Belichick kind of follows that.
He's got 15 different onside kicks that he runs.
Wow. 15 different ones.
Yeah.
Okay, I can think of 5 or 6, so I can see.
Yeah, so,
okay.
I mean, it's just a different look at the same game, and that's just a way to get an edge on it.
Right, it's the same way that Colts kickoff specialist and the punter they have there, whose name just escaped me, and I feel bad because I like that guy. He has the open call that if he comes up to do a kickoff, and sees a certain look, he has the free reign to call his own audible and do an onside kick.
Right. Wow.
Pat McAfee is his name. He is by far one of the best kickoff specialists.
As long as he's not from Australia.
I don't think so.
Not Australia. As long as he didn't play rugby.
I don't think so.
I'm sick of hearing about rugby players who played rugby.
Wow. Matt Chernoff getting some love on CBS/NFL Network.
Oh, and McCain.
And Chuck. Wow. Chuck Oliver, too. You know what? There you go, guys. There you go. And Mark Zeno. Wow. Man.
They're really going all out.
I'm going to check my phone. Did I miss a call? I'm not seeing one. Producer, did we get a call? No, we didn't get calls here.
He blamed me.
Man.
They thought that I might be in the background.
I, I mean, I'm not saying that if they're going to call those, they should might as well call us. But you know,
at least attack.
In not saying it, I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Those are three guys we regularly talk to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was kind of surprised. I didn't.
Wow.
I listened to that today and didn't hear a Look For Us on TV thing.
No, because Turnoff was definitely a television.
Yeah. I like Matt. Met him.
Have you heard Mark?
Yeah.
Actually, my mom has met Mark Deneau. He was doing a pre-show last year, about the time he moved over this way.
Yeah.
From Baltimore. He was doing a pre-show with Chuck Smith and Jamal Anderson. And I asked my mom if she wanted to meet Jamal Anderson. And she thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
So I know how their breaks work when they do these shows. Obviously, as a perk of being in media.
Yeah.
So during a break, I said hey to Jamal and Chuck, who are friends of the show. Let her start talking to Jamal, who was very appreciative because my mom's a teacher. He loves talking to teachers. And I started talking to Mark. But, all three of those guys, super guys. And that's really awesome that you know, those weren't New Orleans guys where this game is taking place tonight that were on that show. They were talking to Atlanta
guys. There's really nothing to talk about in New Orleans.
Right. Plenty of stuff. You're going to lose your coach. Your quarterback has about a year left. And your team's in shambles. I mean, I listen to people out in the Bay Area talk about the 49ers, and they're in the same boat. They're going to lose their quarterback. They're going to have a new coach next year. And their team's in shambles.
That GM is ruining that team.
Well, the owners, who still could be distant relatives of mine that Ancestry.com has not told me yet the connection, but the Orcs out there aren't doing a very good job of owning this team either.
No.
But, yeah, I agree.
I know the DeBartolos are probably, I don't know if I should say rolling over in their grave. They might not be in a grave.
They are. No, I don't think they are. Maybe one of them could be. I need to check on that. Hey, while we're talking about hometown guys, Randy Cross, if you're listening right now, call in the show 347-826-7448.
You know.
Because he would know the D-Bars.
You brought up Randy Cross.
I did. We just talked about those three. I might as well throw Randy Cross in here.
No, I'm saying, when I watched him play, I hated that guy. I don't know why. Because
he was as good as he was?
I don't know what it was. It's not like that the 49ers were keeping the Falcons from any great success.
Right. The Falcons were keeping themselves at that point.
And then when he went on TV.
Yeah.
God, hated to hear him. Hated, couldn't stand it. Was the reason why I wouldn't watch games at all. But now he's on the radio. I like him. He's really good on the radio.
Ready?
No,
super guy.
I've seen him when I was doing my former job, just out and about working. But now he's on the radio. He's great. I like to hear his show.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so funny how my opinion has changed. I don't know what. I doubt he's changed.
No, not really.
He's not shaping his content to get old Joe Pim to listen to him.
No.
Really. It's just funny how things change because I really despise that person. I don't know why.
I could see it.
Maybe it was his curly hair sticking out from under his helmet. I don't know what it was.
Could be.
I don't know what it was.
I don't know. But now we're giving a shout out to most of the local guys that we listen to out here. I could go through a list of other ones, but I do want to keep this show on our time schedule for once.
I'm sorry, I'm not helping.
Oh, no, I'm not helping either. That's the fun thing, though, is with this show, you never know who's going to call in. You never know what direction we're going to take it.
Yes.
So
I brought my compass.
Exactly. We might need more than that. I should have dropped a pin on my Maps app so that we could find ourselves maybe by the end. But somebody who definitely needs to go find himself, I'm working on these segues. I think that was a pretty good one.
Speaking of Texas quarterbacks.
Yeah. High school, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was about to say, I know where he played. He played down the street from here when he got to college, but of course, talking about Matt Stafford, who, now, let me explain this story to you. Jim Caldwell, I believe. Is it Jim?
Jim
Caldwell. Dave Caldwell is the GM in Jacksonville. It's a whole other story. But Matt Stafford come off after throwing an interception or having a bad play or something like
Third pick.
Caldwell says, if you throw one more, I'm benching you.
Sorry, second pick.
Yeah, second pick. So Matt proceeds to go out, and I doubt he did this on purpose, but it would be, if your coach come out and said, you do that one more time, you're out. And if you want to take the rest of the game off, it's a really easy way to do it. But I don't think Matt Stafford did that. I saw the pass. It looked like he literally tried to just muscle the ball instead of throwing it like he normally does. But he's never been the most accurate guy anyway. He's always been a slinger like Brett Favre. He throws it from all different angles. And I just don't think he has the receiving core to help him out. Like Eli Manning a couple years ago. He didn't throw those interceptions on his own. He had receivers who like to tip the ball in the air.
Yeah, and Stafford's best strength is his arm.
Absolutely.
Everybody would tell you that. Not his head, but also his biggest weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can fit those throws in there.
Right.
At, from any distance, like you said, any angle. And that's one of his greatest weaknesses. Because he can do it, he's going to do it, and nothing's going to stop him from doing it the next time.
Right.
He would have went out and tried to throw the fourth pick. But that he would throw
it. Oh, absolutely. And he has that fearlessness just like Brett Favre had. And I like comparing. They're not, that's pretty much where comparison ends as far as those two. They're two completely different players after that. But as far as being a gunslinger from every possible angle you could possibly throw it from.
Yeah.
That's Matt Stafford. And he's not afraid to say, hey, I took the risk because we need that play.
And he's been banged up since week one.
Yeah.
It's not really publicized. Cause
no.
I'm not going to label him a tough guy, but he plays through it. Especially by this time of year,
you know,
everybody's playing through something.
You know, maybe he's not a tough guy like Jay Cutler, you know, hashtag warrior as far as that.
I just saw it. Three touchdown passes for Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
He passes Sid Luckman for the team lead in touchdown passes.
Wow.
I think that maybe Chris Berman will like that Sid Luckman reference.
He probably will. And, nope, I have in-laws in Chicago who I saw over the summer who will definitely love that. I think if Sid's still alive, they probably know where he's at. It's up in Chicago. It's not like Atlanta. They know where their former players are. They're like, oh, he's down there.
Yeah, Chicago is one of those cities.
It's a fun city. They're having a lot of fun right now.
Bring a vest.
Yes.
Bulletproof style. Not
the parts I went in. I went in some good spots.
Yeah.
But it helps when you have family up there and they're like, no.
Yeah,
we're not going that way.
Led. You were not just...
Led. Good reference.
You were led around.
No, actually, I had free reign, but...
Okay. Free reign of these places.
Yes, yes.
But don't go to these places.
We gave him a heads up as to things we would like to do while we were up there.
Well, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Don't get pizza there. Get pizza here. Did you get one of those ridiculous hot dogs with a salad on it?
No.
I've seen that, and I do not understand it.
No, I'm not really a... We have another term for hot dog, which I'll tell you off air. It's really funny.
Don't turn vegan on me.
No. I just... I'm usually not a hot dog guy when I go to stadiums now. I usually go either pizza because it's the best deal here at the Dome,
yeah.
Or I go nachos and just really punish myself.
Get a chance to Google Adam Carolla Dodger Dog Ramp and he'll break it down.
I think I know what you're talking about. Where literally he was talking about somebody putting a salad on his.
Why? And also he does not like the stadium hot dog.
Yeah, I kind of understand that. I mean,
it's called a Dodger Dog and it's kind of one of the worst things you could ever eat.
Yeah.
People still order.
Oh, they do it all the time.
But
as far as Matt Stafford,
confusing.
Do you know?
Hot dog salad.
Right. That you know, you could describe his game recently that way.
Yeah.
Confusing hot dog salad.
Yeah, and really, he's kind of just—he's handcuffed.
Mm-hmm.
You got Megatron,
right? Who's gonna get double teamed?
And
Golden Tate.
Mm.
And the only reason I know Golden Tate, and I'll get into another player because. I have a running joke with a friend of mine on the other guy they throw to, but the only reason I know Golden Tate is not because he came from Seattle, when Seattle was pretty good. In fantasy this year, I thought, gosh, they're going to double-team Calvin Johnson, so everybody they're going to throw everything to Golden Tate. Wow, I could not have been more wrong.
No.
They still try to throw it to Calvin. Now it's just intercepted.
Golden Tate's one of those players.
He was better off in Seattle where they don't throw the ball and they don't emphasize receivers.
And he's got talent, but when your personality shows in the game,
mm-hmm.
You have too much personality. Turn it down. Play the game. I don't really care how flamboyant you are. I don't care about your views on stuff.
Yeah, because you know what made T.O. great? You know what made Ocho Cinco great? You know what made Deion Sanders great? They celebrated after they made the play, not before.
Or during as well.
Right, or even during, yeah.
Remember one of the touchdown catches where he turned around and was telling them to come on and get him?
Yeah.
Or waving by to him. I think it was when he burnt not Roddy White, when he burnt one of the Falcons during the playoff game. Turned around and was just...
Well, this playoff game, then it's not even the recent guys they have, so it would be...
Probably Dante Robinson.
Probably so.
And he turned around and was waving bye to him.
Which is not smart, because Dante Robinson will probably slap you.
No, he was set aside money at the beginning of the year for the fines that he was going to incur while the season was going on.
I'm not sure the noise that just heard in my ear. But
that wasn't in your ear. Actually, I don't know what you're hearing.
It
I know what I heard.
It was like an elevator opening or something. It was, I guess our soundboard is making its own things now.
China looking in on us. Or the NSA.
It could be. You know, let's check the phone lines real quick just to make sure. No, it is not CBS or the NFL calling us to have us be on the show. I guess we'll let that one go. But
human remain. Sorry.
Wow.
My non-sequiturs.
Wow. But as far as Matt Stafford, they brought in Dan Orlovsky. Yep, the same Dan Orlovsky that I believe when he played for the Lions led them to a 1-10 record years ago.
Well, and it's just a weak thing. He's going to be back. He's still their leader. The players.
It's just like the Jay Cutler argument in Chicago. I'm like, they're not going to bench Jay Cutler. A, they owe him way too much money, a lot more than he's worth. And B, as a coach, you play who gives you the best chance to win. Jay Cutler gives you a chance every week. It may not be a good chance, but it's a better chance than you had with anybody behind him.
And, you know, if they would have been in the game, he wouldn't have got pulled. And he's never been, he hasn't been pulled in any game he's ever played.
Right.
High school, junior high, pro, college. That's the first time. So it's somewhat of a story, but if it was 42-35 and he threw that pick, he wouldn't have been pulled.
Exactly.
It was just.
And Caldwell's not going to be the coach next year in Detroit anyway. It's not going to matter.
Oh, I think he's good for it.
I don't either. He's not that good.
No, and he's.
It's like Romeo Crennel. He's a good coordinator. He's an awful head coach.
And I don't know why the NFL just decided they just pass coaches around.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll promote a coordinator. Sometimes they won't.
I don't know. I mean, it's like a bad girlfriend in high school. Oh, she was terrible. She was this way and this way and this way. Oh, she'd be good for you, dude.
Yeah.
It's just not right. We need to end that trend. It's like if you don't have any good options, either keep the one you have or look in college or high school or call one of us. It doesn't matter. Stop getting the same bad ones.
I mean, I get the hours. It's a bit of a hectic schedule.
Right.
I don't really know what I would be committing to if I became a Detroit Lions head coach because I've never done it.
It would be, you know, 120 hours a week. You pretty much would either sleep for 4 hours or just not go home.
Yeah, but the month's off. Kind of equal.
There is no month off. It's a 365.
That's how my college is recruiting. You get a couple. You get 2 months off.
Okay.
Yeah. To do what Jim Caldwell is doing?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be Bill Belichick and you know, taking 2 months off, but what's going on here?
They're going into the tunnel.
Why?
Because they're done warming up and practicing. They go into the tunnel, they regroup, they say a prayer, they eat their vitamins and live the Hulkamania way, and then they come out and play the game.
Mm. Hulk, that guy's had a rough year.
He has. He would probably be the celebrity with the worst year so far, except for maybe Lamar Odom, but that's completely different. Yeah.
Sure, Jared from Subway is. Bill Cosby. He's had a rough year.
Yeah, not quite like Jared, though. And Jared's about to get the table turned on him, I think. And it is what it is. We definitely don't condone those actions.
He's never going to wish he never lost that weight so much.
Right. He's probably better off if he puts a few on.
Yeah.
But moving on to...
From uncomfortable.
There we go. There's a good word. From uncomfortable. If you're a Denver Broncos fan, your defense doesn't make you uncomfortable. Your offense should. And the fact that Peyton Manning has, it's either 7 touchdowns and 9 interceptions or 9 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. But regardless, they're not going to bench him for Osweiler, so we're going to get that out of the way. But it's what I said last year. At the halfway point of last year, he just looks like he has a dead arm. And I've seen pitchers do the same thing where you just look and go, you should find your exit strategy. And somebody like Peyton, you're going to have to drag him kicking and screaming. But at some point, Elway either needs to have a conversation with him or he needs to go, we need to change the game plan. You have to listen.
Yeah, and before the season started, I thought it was his last year anyway, not based on anything other than...
Oh, I've said it for years. I've had this tagged as the last year. And I do agree that his thigh injury he had last year, he is a leg thrower because his arm is not where it was. And when you don't have the legs, it's just like in golf. If you don't have the leg strength, look at Tiger Woods, you don't have that leg strength he did have, you don't have the torque you can throw the ball or hit a golf ball.
Yeah.
but just given his experience and his experience at being good, that's the main thing. Experience being terrible, that really doesn't do you any good at all. Experience being good and knowing what to do and what has worked, and knowing his limitations, because he's, all right, he's got a dead arm. I think he's accepted that. He's not throwing 40 yards over the middle,
right,
and getting picked off.
Now, granted, a few of the deep balls he's thrown have looked very pretty.
Yes.
And they were accurate. One overthrew a receiver, one underthrew, and one was dead on. It looked good.
He knows his limitations, and with that defense, I think he's pretty comfortable staying within those limitations. Now, let's say they get into week 14,
okay,
and they're 11-3 with a three-game lead. I don't think that it'd be a bad idea to pull him.
Well, I do think they should work in some Brock Osweiler packages, not only to rest Peyton, I'm not benching him, to rest him so that his arm doesn't get overtired, which is a term I still don't quite understand if it's either tired or not, but to be overtired.
Like wet.
Yeah.
Or wet or not.
Yeah. I would see what Brock has.
Yeah, kind of approach the preseason schedule. You know,
yeah.
Week four. They played a lot of the first
and
half.
Just like I said last week.
Oh, sorry, week three.
Just like I said last week with the Falcons, with Sean Renfrey, it was nice to come in for garbage time play, and he didn't give up the lead or nothing like that, but he's playing with the second and third string guys just like he does in the preseason. I want to see Brock Osweiler with the ones. I want to see Sean Renfrey with the ones, because if something happens to Matt Ryan, something happens to Peyton Manning, I want to see if they can handle it. If playing with the ones is different from the twos or threes.
And let's face it, if Osweiler gets snaps in the postseason, they're not going to win anyway.
Probably not. Well, it depends on how good the defense is. If they play a very limited, if they play a Tim Tebow-like game where he throws it 13 to 15 times.
They don't have the running backs for that.
No, but the defense can score points.
Yeah, when Tebow was doing that, they had better running backs.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. It's that kind of limited. I'm only going to have you throw 13 or 14 times, and hopefully we can find a run game. But at the same time, yeah.
Well, see, Peyton, the way he's playing, is kind of an extension of the run game. I really hate that phrase.
Yeah.
And reference to those short passes. It's an extension of the run game.
Yeah.
It's not an extension of the run game.
No, it's a strategy that is the same as a run game, pretty much. It is the same basic concept. We're going to do a lot of dunk and dink passes, which the Patriots have made, you know, very popular. But it's a lot of small passes to the flat as opposed to running to the flat.
Yeah, it's people hear a phrase and they run with it.
Right.
And I really do not like the term an extension of the run game.
Right, except for one phrase that everybody should take from this show and run with it is impact media.
Yeah.
I wish they would.
Yeah, but that actually exists. That's
right.
That's not something created out of nowhere.
Right. That's like overtired.
Yeah. I'm overtired. Overexhausted. You either are.
Yeah.
You aren't.
Right. But, right.
Am I being too literal here?
No.
Not an extension of the run game.
Not.
Even though I just said it. But that people listening will know what I'm talking about then.
Right. Because our listeners are educated. They know what we're talking about.
Yeah, because they've heard that overused reference too many times. They're really short passes.
Right.
That's what they are.
Yeah, they're 2 to 4 yard passes.
Borderline laterals.
Yeah.
If it's a lateral, you know what that is? An extension of the run game.
Exactly. Because
it's a running play.
Right. But if it's even an inch forward,
yes,
not a lateral.
No.
Which makes it not
a pass play.
Right.
Extension of the pass play.
Exactly.
I'm getting caught up in semantics.
And speaking of extension, as we will get into, we got three things we want to hit real quickly, and then we've got about 20 minutes left, and then we got to run through some Falcon stuff. Definitely we want to get into it before the game starts. Because
that would help, right?
It would.
We'll come right to the end, someone's going to win.
Well, usually what I do is, if we're on air as the game is playing, we give updates as it happens. You know, hey, that was a good run by Aaron Foster, I believe, we used last week. But speaking of extensions, and you guys will get why I say this in a minute, D'Angelo Williams, who I'm a big fan of. The guy is super. He stands for a lot of great things. He needed a change of pace, and Pittsburgh's a good place for him. He wanted to wear the pink accessories in months that are not October because he wants to honor his mother, who passed away from breast cancer, who he has always been behind. He's dyed his hair before, the extension, stuff like that, before I get the extension. The NFL says no. And I understand the rule because pink is not a normal Pittsburgh color. You're not allowed to wear colors that are not the team colors. I understand those without getting fined. They told him not to do it. So in response to this, he's going to dye his hair pink.
Yeah, and
which you can do.
Brandon Marshall went through something like this a couple of years ago with the, I think they were neon green shoes. They were, at the very least, green shoes.
Yes.
In support of people with mental health issues.
Right.
I think his brother has mental health problems or had a problem. I'm not sure how severe it is or was. I don't know. The NFL, I kind of tried to think about this earlier to put myself in the NFL's position.
I see where they're coming from because it is a business, it is a brand, and our brand, their brand, but they want it uniform a certain way.
But what, you said it right, they are a business, but what good can come of saying no?
You're in the press about it. Peter said yes, nobody ever heard this story.
But why not wait till October 31st to say no? November 1st, I know you can't do it.
I believe Mr. Williams has forced their hand on that one because he Facebook and tweeted it out.
Right, but still.
So he forced their hand as far as that.
But he can wear it all month.
Sure.
This is, you know, breast cancer. I am aware of breast cancer.
Right.
Very aware. Trust me.
Every event I've been to, I make sure to support the pink. And
I'm also aware that 12% of the proceeds go towards breast cancer research.
Right.
You know, the rest of it, pocket of the NFL.
Probably.
Which is fine. No,
week we talked about how the NFL basically charges us, the fans, through the Department of Defense for the military events such as reuniting them with their family on the field.
Yeah.
So
fine, which is great.
I don't have a problem paying for that. It's just don't masquerade it as this great thing that you do when you're charging somebody else for it. I don't know why they don't write that off.
They probably do. I'm sure it's all write off. We end up paying for it twice.
Probably.
But to answer it now, so I try to look at it from the commissioner's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're just trying to be hard asses about everything. They're coming down on the Patriots over alleged things. Nothing proven, just alleged.
I've still seen nothing on that.
They're coming down on players for being accused of things, not convicted.
Right.
And I think that they're just trying to be hard asses on everybody.
I think they would
rather, every subject.
They'd rather be too strong and be wrong.
Yeah.
Which is actually too strong and be wrong should be a shirt or something for them, than to to be light and look bad afterwards.
Yeah, but realistically and logically, nothing bad can come of him wearing pink the rest of the year.
Right.
And I really think he should go the Michael Jordan route. Well, Michael Jordan, they told him, you wear those shoes, you're going to be fine. His rookie year.
Right.
You wear those shoes, you're going to be fine. I think you should wear it. And I think that you get plenty of donations to cover his fine.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure.
And now I know I'm playing with his money here.
Right.
It's easy for me to say he should pay $50,000 a game when I'm not going to pay any of it.
Right.
But if he wants to make a statement and make the NFL look bad, which they don't really need any help looking bad.
Right.
I got this concussion movie on that Will Smith thing. It's really putting the NFL on blast. There are plenty of people coming up with ways to make the NFL look bad. They don't need any help.
Right.
But if you feel strongly about it, I think you need to get plenty of backers and donations from people.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to run through these next two really quickly so we can get into soccer stuff. We've got about 15 minutes left, I believe. Cam Hayward honors his dad and gets fined.
Another looking bad. They had to go
right
back after the tape. That happened 2 weeks ago.
Well, he had the on the eye black, he had Ironhead, which is Ironhead Hayward is his dad. I remember him playing. I remember him from the soap commercials as well.
Played for both teams that are playing tonight.
Right.
Good player. Just another bad PR move. I don't know if the PR guy for the NFL is on vacation or what, but it just doesn't look good. And what does that? Cameron Hayward still would wear it again.
Right. In fact, the fine was only like $5,700 because of his contract, his percentage of his contract.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the fans, and the fans could be doing this, I don't know about it, do a GoFundMe page and pay the fine for him. Or his owner probably stepped in and went, I got it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about this.
Sure. Yeah, because, man, those owners, the Rooneys, those are some of the best.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know they're all billionaires and all that, but from what I've heard.
And last thing we're going to get into, give me your two best and your two worst teams in the league.
All right, two best, Packers, Patriots. I'd say Patriots are the best just because they haven't faced many injuries. The Packers have really been hurt by their injuries, but they get home field. They're pretty much going to the Super Bowl.
All right.
So Packers, Patriots, two best.
Okay. My two best, by far, the Patriots, and I'm not being a homer, even though I'm a known Brady fan. They make it look too easy. Green Bay does make it easy, but I called some of my friends who are on this, who have been on this since before there was one, but I'm kind of on the Andy Dalton / Bengals bandwagon right now. I actually think that if they were in the NFC, that would be Patriots and Bengals would be a very awesome Super Bowl, and at the same time, it'll just be a very awesome AFC championship.
Yeah, see, the Bengals probably have the best defense out of those three teams.
Yes, by far.
So that's, I can't disagree with that at all.
I'm excited by it. Maybe it's just the hype, but I look forward to them doing some great things.
Yeah, I try to get one from each conference.
Yeah.
I could make an argument that the Patriots aren't as good as the Bengals just because of the defense.
Right.
But I don't know that the Bengals can outscore the Patriots.
I would almost say if my NFC representative, and I think the Packers are going to be hurt by injuries again, just like they are.
Yeah.
I actually think Arizona's a stronger team.
Yeah, and they're a strong team, and I'm kind of putting this, I didn't look at it as best right now, best chances to win it all. And that may not be what you were asking for.
No, just best teams. They're the,
I think Arizona's got too much of a gauntlet to come out of that. Play the Rams twice and the Hawks twice.
Probably so. Two words real quick.
Dolphins, by far.
Yeah, I said last week they were beyond dumpster fire.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to pick a team that hadn't won yet. The Lions.
Are they really 0-5? Wow. Yeah, I got to throw them down there then. I absolutely agree on both of those. And as I said last week, it's not Jacksonville and it's not Tampa.
No.
They may be in the bottom five at times, but they are not the worst in the league.
No, they're the worst. You'd be bad, but you're not the worst.
Right. It's like being good but not great. It's just, there is always that extra gear.
Yeah, and at least those two teams aren't maybe not trending upward, but they're moving forward. They're not moving backward.
Right. And that's going to finish up the end zone stuff. Let's get right into Falcon Zone.
All right.
At that point, you should take my word for it. But
I get it.
But we are live, of course, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media for Falcon Zone. Thanks for joining us. We got about 12 minutes. That's an awesome song. I'll play it for you so I know your earphones aren't picking it up right now. But we're going to run through these things really quickly. The win versus Washington. Now, Washington played a lot tougher than I thought they would, but at the same time, I never lost faith that the Falcons were going to win that.
Well, also, in the past three seasons, the Falcons would have lost that game.
Absolutely.
Quarterback has no touchdown passes, three turnovers. Really a subpar game, and that was...
Yeah, he didn't like Matt.
Nah, he didn't. And Freeman put the team on his back.
He did.
In every phase, really. And he has been... going to come through with some brand-new ideas, but he's been the difference maker this year.
Right, and then now, you had Coleman come back as well, along with Ward.
Yeah.
They really have a three-headed attack, if they want. Now, what they mainly do is it's all Freeman until he gets a change of pace break to Coleman, who also changed the pace into Ward for something different in garbage time.
I didn't like the fact that the defense let Washington go down with 30 seconds and tie the game to send it to OT.
Right.
That was a little bit concerning. But I get it. I mean, that prevent defense, it really is still the go-to. And I know you look dumb if you press and they go deep over you, but... They didn't even really need to go to overtime. It was a little aggravating. And, going for two early on, it kind of had them chasing points. I get why they did. But it was a great win, certainly better than a loss, and this is not college football. style points are not necessary. A win is a win, and they're very hard to come by.
I finally figured out what the dinging is. It is our Facebook notifications.
You're getting them.
It is. It's a different sound than I've ever heard before, so that's why it's throwing me off.
All right.
But, yeah, I absolutely agree that they should have won that game way before overtime, but at the same time, sometimes you get in those battles.
Yeah.
Injury update. Julio Jones is active and going
to
play tonight.
Good
and,
to go, 100%.
And he's not on – yeah, no pitch count, no play count. Dan Quinn actually almost halfway scoffed and laughed when he's like, that's incorrect information.
Yeah. Right.
And, of course, Leonard Hankerson with his hamstring injury, he's going to play as well.
And his ribs are doing just fine, too. He will be playing.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, do I still have it up? I just saw it a minute ago. The actual injuries and such.
And I think that Hankerson will contribute because I get the feeling that Julio is playing, but he's not really 100%.
Here we go.
And he's going to be drawing that double. And I don't know if they're really going to press the issue with him. He might be getting the shorter routes with maybe one or two deep attempts.
Right.
And Hankerson, while a lot of the fantasy experts last week were saying that he was going to be a big pickup, and he really didn't perform last week. I think he had one catch for 19 yards. But this week, nothing really leads me to believe this, but I think that he's going to contribute a lot more than he did. And watch out for Roddy, too. I think Roddy.
I think Roddy has earned his position back, even though he shouldn't have lost it. Oh, Tyler Starr was just seen on there.
Mm.
That would be my question for Dan Quinn, if I ever meet him. Why in the world is Tyler Starr handing out Gatorade? I feel like he should be playing, but he'll probably have a better explanation. There we go. Today's inactive for the Falcons, wide receiver Hardy, which is a shame. That guy's pretty cool. Cornerback Southward will not be playing. The safety Godfrey, the linebacker Durant, he's banged up a little bit. The tackle Harrison, the defensive end Goodman, as well as the thing that I think could impact this game a little bit and make it closer than it should be, the starting center, Mike Person. I think it's Mike.
Yeah.
Person. But he's going to be out. He's actually solidified this line a lot better than it was before.
Yeah, I think it would be Joey Phillips in the center in the past, so I might be wrong about that.
But they're going to put Stone in. Stone looked a little rookie-ish when he came in last week, even though he'll be better this week. He was great last year when he came in.
Well, and, hey, man, the Saints, they're not like the mortal and fire on defensively, let's be honest.
No. But before we give our predictions of tonight's games, or tonight's game, I do want to talk about Matt Ryan's old grandpa red flannel shirt that he wore at the press conference.
I'm thinking he might have contacted Google and had them remove all images and referencing the shirt because I could not find it. So at this point, I'm taking your word for it. And, hey, I'm with it.
I can find it quickly.
I'm not a big fan of this fashion show after the game.
I don't think he was trying. I think this was actually something in his closet.
That's what I get. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Like, he looked like he was going to Vermont to pick apples and chop trees.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like this whole, I'm going to make a statement with the clothes I wear. Look, if you own the shirt, put it on. Don't spend 30 minutes getting dressed and, you know, putting on your finest Dwayne Wade get up, go out there in pink short pants and funny glasses just to give an interview on a game that you really haven't even settled down from.
Right.
So if you own the shirt and it's there with you, fine. I'm cool. And, hey, ain't nothing wrong with Grandpa. My grandpa has a pretty cool shirt. So I used to swindle his shirt.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the shirt. I'm just saying for Matt to wear it, you're just like, put it back in your closet, dude.
But for what? In lieu of what? What is he supposed to wear, I guess, is all I'm
at this point, pink short pants would look better.
Man, this has got to be some shirt, though.
We'll
follow up on this next week if we can't find anything.
Yeah,
I know we're pressed, but that's got to be some shirt.
Yeah, we're in the last 5 minutes or so. We appreciate, obviously appreciate you coming in.
I'm happy to be back, actually.
Yeah, appreciate you coming in. Coach and Reggie couldn't be here, obviously, but it opened up the spot where we could get you back in. A lot of people like your breakdowns. I definitely like your breakdowns. You would be here. We know that.
Yeah. I didn't force my way.
No.
I think I was invited. Right?
It's an open deck, too, so it's kind of hard to...
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm really going to be disappointed by this shirt.
Today is the 15th, so it'd be the 11th, probably, when this drops.
Yeah, Monday was the 12th. It was my mother's birthday. I remember. I remember to tell her happy birthday.
I might have to look for it later because in trying to pull that up, they were running commercials during my broadcast, which I do not appreciate. AtlantaFalcons.com. All right, as far as this game tonight, I'll pull up that picture and I'll post it on social media if I can find it. As far as the game tonight, how do you see it playing out? And obviously, who's going to win?
Man, New Orleans is kind of weak on the edges. And if Julio was 100%, I think that this would be a track meet one way. I don't think anybody would be able to keep up.
Boat race.
Boat race, yes. Which I really never really understood the term.
I don't either, but I know what it means. So I just keep using it.
You got boat race. Drag race.
I guess because in boat races that you know when you're doing the sailing parts of them, we're not talking like speed boats, but that you can actually beat people by a long distance.
Same wind.
I know, but some people are better at the
different
others.
Yachtsman. Is that what's called a yachtsman?
Yeah, maybe so.
Different. Maybe it's the difference is in the clipper that you're riding on, the schooner.
Could be.
That's all my boat terminology.
Starboard, isn't that something?
I'm tapped out. yeah. Mask. I've got it 31-24. Falcons win. I still don't have a whole lot of faith in the Falcons as far as keeping people from scoring.
Right.
And Drew Brees, 13-5 against the Falcons.
I bet that he is a Falcon killer if there ever was one. I don't care who he has with him.
Yeah, and he was 0-2 last year. So, really, last year doesn't matter.
And they're at home, and they need this win.
Hey, we're not supposed to say anything about this guy.
Hey, shout out to Steve Gleason. Absolutely. I'm going to say something about him. I support him. I have donated money to his cause. Oh. I have participated.
Well, I was just saying other local personalities. I guess that was kind of rude what they did.
Oh, they didn't mention him? Wow.
No, they actually mentioned him a little too much. It was last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yep. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
I was trying to stay away from that.
The bad skit that, there's a reason why most of those guys aren't employed anymore.
Actually,
one of them isn't.
Domino gets brought on when the other guy has to go get a massage.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
Cellini. Domino's on TV. Cellini gets brought in every once in a while. I actually like Steak's TV show, too.
Yeah.
Atlanta Eats.
Oh, yeah. I watch that. Mm. It's on demand, too.
Yeah. Oh, Steak, he's all right. They can all be the same guy.
Right. I mean, all the restaurants he picked out, I pointed out to my wife. I was like, yeah, not only is that guy in Atlanta. Personality. I said, all those restaurants you just pointed out are in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So now I'm on the hook for going to Atlanta to some of these places.
Yeah, it's too late for any fantasy advice, and I'm not anyone to listen to as far as fantasy is concerned.
Could be. I'm not as good as the experts that call into the show, but like I have on occasion given some advice, and if you have Drew Brees, this should be in. Matt Ryan, if he's in. You know, I think Ingram is a definite start. I think Cooks is a definite start as far as them. On the other side, I would say if you have Matt Ryan, absolutely. Devontae, absolutely. Julio, absolutely. And I think I would stop there.
I don't know. I think Tammy is a nice, affordable pickup. He'll probably get you about 10 points tonight. He's very cheap on the lineups I've seen.
Yes, on DraftKings.
Yes.
Yes. But as far as how this is going to play out, I do think it's going to be it could be a shootout. I like the 31 number, but I'm going to say 31-27. Falcons are going to win this, and it's going to be that way. Their defense is good, but they're not. This is Drew Brees. He's going to score when he wants.
Yeah, and the over under was 51, so we're not really coming up with anything.
No.
We're not really
right.
Coming out of left field with this.
Right.
And, you know, they build those casinos pretty big for a reason.
They do. And this could be a trap game as well, as far as if the Falcons were to lose.
Yeah.
This would be the game that I think they could lose, but I don't think they lose it tonight. And Sean Payton will probably coach a different team next year.
And, you know, the Saints, they start fast usually, especially in these Falcons games. And Atlanta's come from behind a few times this year. So I don't think them getting down.
They're out of the five win, I believe.
I don't think them going down 10 points is going to hurt them.
No.
It's just they're going to stick with the run. The Shanahan run game is genetic. And it's going to
wow, that was a nice catch by Hill. Isn't he the tight end replacement for Jimmy Graham?
Mm.
Look at this. This is thread the needle. Either you catch it or nobody does. But we're in the last 40 seconds here. Obviously, we appreciate Blog Talk Radio and Impact Media for allowing us to come on and talk about the NFL and the Falcons. Win the catch? Oh. Eh.
They called it a catch, but it wasn't one.
Either way. But definitely appreciate you joining us again, or joining us first time this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't be the last. We're working on getting you back in the rotation.
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
And I guess parting words. Enjoy this game here on CBS and NFL Network. It's going to be a good one.
It will.
But for Mr. Joe Pym, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening.